If you have your Bibles, open up to the book of Matthew. We'll be in Matthew chapter 6, looking at verses 14 and 15. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. The title of today's sermon is The Power of the F-Bomb. The Power of the F-Bomb. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 through 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Let us bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, God, as we serve you today and we come to you today, Lord, I know that there's a lot of our hearts here that have been through a lot this week. And I pray, God, that you would speak to each and every one of us, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, if we have a burden on our heart, Lord, if there's something that we'd like to be forgiven of or ask for forgiveness of, or God, just open our hearts to you today, Lord. I pray, God, that you would just let them be open and the floodgates, Lord, would be spoken to you as you give this message to us today, God. Lord, we are yours. Use us, Lord, for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the title of today's sermon is The Power of the F-Bomb. Now, I don't know about you, but that is a title that gets my attention. Because you never see the word F-bomb used in a positive light, do you? You hear people on TV say things like, oh, he just dropped the F-bomb. Just like that topic gets your attention, I hope the topic of forgiveness gets your attention too, because that's what I want to talk about today. Now, the F-word may be a dirty word in the way the world uses it, but the F-word is a glorious word in the way that God uses it. It has the power to change lives, and so that's what we want to talk about today. So is forgiveness a word? Yeah, it's a word. But it's more than a word. Forgiveness is a feeling. Forgiveness is a commandment from God. It's an action that we have to do and others need to do to us too. Some people would say the most important words in a Christian's vocabulary are the words, I love you. Or maybe the words, I'm praying for you. Or maybe the word, how can I help? And while all those words are great, I think two of the most important phrases in our Christian vocabulary are simply this. Forgive me, and I forgive you. Why do I say that? Well, because forgiveness is at the very heart of the gospel and the message that Jesus Christ shared with us. After all, think about this. Why did Jesus become man, taking on our sins? Why did Jesus undergo temptation? Why did Jesus suffer and die upon the cross? Why? So we could be forgiven. So where would we be without forgiveness? Think about it. Where would we be without forgiveness? Close your eyes for a minute. Try to imagine your life without forgiveness. With no forgiveness. Husbands and wives fighting. Children fighting. Friends arguing. It'd be terrible, wouldn't it? All of us would be left in our own sins and our own misery. None of us would have hope for salvation or eternal life. Families and churches would be terrible messes. People would be doomed to this life of conflict and hatred and bitterness and anger. Love would be a thing of the past if we didn't have forgiveness. And hate would rule our lives. Today there are some issues in our church that people are battling with forgiveness. And if we don't resolve them, they can begin to eat away at the very great things that God has done for us. So I pray that during the message today, if you have a problem forgiving yourself, God will show you how to do that. If you have a problem forgiving someone else, that God will show you how to do that. And if you need to ask for forgiveness of someone else, I pray that God will give you the courage to ask for forgiveness. So how do you describe forgiveness? Think about it. When you hear the word forgiveness, what does God say to you? Listen to him. When you hear the word forgiveness, what does God say to you? Does God bring up a situation that you need to forgive someone of? Is God telling you there's someone that should forgive you? What is God telling you when you hear the word forgiveness? When I hear the word forgiveness, I think of what Jesus, I think of his words on the cross in Luke chapter 25. He says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." I think about how Jesus prayed this for the scribes and the Pharisees who plotted against him. How Jesus prayed this for the crowds that screamed, "Crucify him, crucify him." I think of how Jesus prayed for the apostles who deserted him and denied him and betrayed him. I think about Jesus, how he prayed this for the soldiers who cracked that whip and pounded in the nails. I think about how Jesus prayed this for sinners like you and I. Because for our sake, he went to the cross too. Could you pray that way? For someone who was killing you? For someone who sinned against you? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Forgiveness is tough, folks. That pain you feel when somebody hurts you, when somebody disappoints you, that pain is real. That frustration you have with someone who continues to sin over and over and over again, and you're supposed to forgive them, that's difficult. I never said forgiveness would be easy. But forgiveness is necessary. It's a commandment from God. You see, without forgiveness, there's no healing. And there can't be any restoration. How many people in our congregation today are struggling with either forgiving someone or wanting someone to forgive you? Let me see your hands if you're struggling with that today. Forgiveness is a tough thing. Brothers and sisters, God is going to help you with forgiving today as you open your heart to him to hear this word. Let's turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. I want to share with you a story about forgiveness that is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 25. Jesus is telling Peter, who has a question about what does forgiveness look like? And so Jesus tells this to Peter. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Listen to these words. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. So I want to pause here for a minute. The rabbis taught that people should forgive people 3 times. Anybody who offends you, you should forgive them 3 times. Peter, he's trying to be generous. And so what he does, he asks Jesus if 7 is enough time to forgive someone. But Jesus answers in verse 22, he says, 70 times 7. Meaning that we shouldn't even keep track of how many times we forgive somebody. If they're truly repentant, no matter how many times they ask. I don't know about you, but that's a tough thing for me to do. How many times have you had to forgive somebody multiple times for doing the same thing? Anybody have to do that? If you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. Definitely. Yeah, you got to forgive somebody multiple times for doing the same thing. And you get mad and you get frustrated and you get irritated. And it's hard for you to be nice to that person. Now let me ask you this. How many times has God had to forgive you for multiple times doing the same thing? Yeah, it's something to think about, isn't it? Before we get frustrated with others, we got to think about how God is treating us. So let me continue with the story. Verse 23. God's word says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him and said, 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I'll pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, forgave his debt, and let him go. But when that forgiven servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and he began to choke him. He said, 'Pay back what you owe me.' His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I'll pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed over what went on, and they told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant and said, 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I forgave all your debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?' In his anger, the master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he shall pay back all that he owned. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from his heart." Now that's a powerful message about forgiveness. Here we read about the parable of a king who's settling accounts with his servants, where many people owe him money. All kinds of people owe him money. And one of the servants brings forward, he owns the king 10,000 talents. So a footnote in my Bible says that's like millions of dollars. So more than a servant could ever pay back to his king, ever. And in this particular situation, in Matthew 18:25, it says, the servant wasn't able to pay his debt, so the master ordered that servant, not just that servant, but his wife and his children and everything that he had, be sold to repay the debt. But even with that drastic step, there's no way he could have paid back millions of dollars. He's a servant. So when the servant heard that he was going to be sold with his family and all his possessions, he got on his hands and knees. And what he did was begged for mercy. He said, be patient with me, and I'll pay back everything. But even with that, that was an empty promise. All those people that were standing by, they knew a servant couldn't pay back millions of dollars. But he said, please be patient with me. And he meant it in his heart. And so what happened? To everybody's surprise, verse 27 says, the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and he loosed him and forgave him the debt. He didn't ask for anything in return. He just forgave him. And in his ledgers, his master marked, paid in full. How awesome is that? Have you ever been granted mercy when you owed somebody something and they said, don't worry about it, it's okay? Isn't that a wonderful feeling? Here this person owes millions of dollars. And he said, his master said, it's okay, you're forgiven. Now look what else happens here. Verse 23, Jesus starts this parable by saying, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king who would take account of his servants. And I think the point Jesus is trying to get here is, this is about the kingdom of heaven, and the king represents God. And the servant represents people like you and me. People who have heard and experienced the message of forgiveness. And like that servant, we have an enormous debt. A debt so large, there's no way we could ever pay it back. That debt is caused by sin. So God does to our debt what the king did to the servant's debt. He doesn't throw him into the debtor's prison of hell. No, God doesn't do that for us. What does he do? As we pray and we ask for mercy and forgiveness, God forgives us. Do we deserve it? No, but he forgives us. And in his ledger, he writes, paid in full. Because God shows pity and mercy to us. Now, why does God show that to us? Does anybody know why God shows us mercy? Why God forgives us? Who has an idea? Because he loves us. That's right. Because he loves us. John 3:16 and 17 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that God forgives us. Amen?
Amen.
So now let's look what else the story tells us about. So the master forgives the servant with the enormous debt. God forgives us with the enormous debt. That's great. But in verses 28 through 30, we see, how does this forgiven servant act? Jesus continues telling this parable, and it says, when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is about a couple dollars. He grabs him and he begins to choke him. He says, you better pay back what you owe me. And so what does that man do? That man says, please, I'm sorry, just have patience, I'll pay you back. And Matthew 18:30 says, instead he went off and had the man thrown into prison because he couldn't pay the debt. So here this man, he gets forgiven of a huge debt, millions of dollars. But after the master forgives him, he goes out, finds somebody who owes him money. And that person asks to hold off for a little while. And what does he do? He starts choking him and has him thrown off into prison. Now that doesn't make sense, right? That can't make sense. The reason God tells us this parable is because he wants us to search our heart and answer a very personal question. He wants to go, am I unforgiving? Just like that servant who was forgiven. Think about it. Are you unforgiving just like this servant? God has forgiven you, but have you not forgave somebody else? Compared to our debt that we have to God, the sin that our neighbor does against us, or our friend does against us, or our sister or brother, that's nothing. but yet we hold it against him. So why are we so unforgiving? I wonder how many of us today, you don't have to raise your hands for this, but I just want you to think about this. How many of us today harbor grudges and nurse resentments in our life? How many times do we let problems of the past continually come between us and our families? How many times do we hold a particular sin against another person and never let it go? How many times have we refused to go to a family function or church because we're mad about something that has happened years ago? Folks, the message God gives us is plain and easy to understand. And the message he gives us is, we're supposed to forgive the same way the Lord forgives us. Jesus even teaches the disciples that in the Lord's Prayer, right? It says, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. The final thing we learn from this message is to forgive or to be judged. Does anybody want to be judged? Does anybody want to be forgiven? If your choice to be forgiven or to be judged, which one do you want?
Forgiven.
Forgiven, that makes sense, right? So if it makes sense, why don't we do it? Listen to what this says here, verse 32 and 34. It says, then the master called the servant in, you wicked servant, I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? So in anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he paid back all that he owed. In other words, that servant was going to be in jail for life. Then Jesus ends this parable with a warning to all of us in verse 35. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. So the message is clear. Unforgiving means unforgiven. Or to put it in a more positive way, if you forgive others, God will forgive you. That's what the kingdom of heaven is going to be like. So it's time for us somehow, some way, to put the grudges that we have behind us. We got to learn to forgive. Because forgiveness sets you free. That burden, that struggle, that anger that you're dealing with today, that you're holding inside, that thing that you're holding in your heart that you think is above someone else's head, like, oh, I'm never going to forgive them. I have this over them. All you're doing is hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting your relationship with God. Forgiveness sets you free. You see, we all make mistakes. We all make good decisions, and some of us make bad decisions. And we want the Lord to forgive us, right? So why wouldn't he not readily forgive other people? There's been times in my life, now I don't know about you, where I've started to forgive someone just because I wanted God to forgive me. I didn't really want to forgive this person. They were a jerk. But I want God to forgive me. And so I'd start trying to forgive that person, like, God, you don't know what this person has done to me. How am I going to forgive them? And then you know what I hear? Alan, you don't know what you did to me. That humbles you real quick. And I think about all the bad things I've done to God and all the ways God's forgiven me. And I think about, why am I hung up over this one silly issue? Forgiveness is important. How would you feel if God held every symbol thing that you've ever done against you? Every thought you've ever had that was negative, every action that you've ever done, if God held all those things against you, how would you feel today? You'd feel miserable, I could tell you. But God doesn't hold those sins against you. If you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior and you repented of your sins are as gone as far as the east is from the west. They're gone forever. So why can't we love the way that God tells us to love? What are we so scared of? We don't have any power over anybody by not forgiving them. I mean, what are we scared of? You see, there's all these presidential elections going on and court elections going on, all these different elections, and they're promising to make a greater America and all these great things. You know, the only way you can make a greater America, the only way you can make Emporia a great community, the only way you can make your family a great family is to start practicing forgiveness and to start practicing love. Once you've forgiven someone, whether they choose to accept your apology or not, the healing process begins. No longer are you bound by that chain. The chain is broken, and the Lord will forgive you. And then you'll start to experience some peace in your life. You know, it's kind of like helping someone on the side of the road. We've all been there. You see somebody broke down on the side of the road, you go and you help them. How does it make you feel when they're back on the road again? Makes you feel great, right? It's not about whether they want to pay you or they want to do this. You don't want any of that. You're just happy to get them on the road again. Like they were broke down and here I come to save the day. And whether that was lending them a cell phone, changing a tire, putting some gas in their car, you helped them. And it made you feel good. Forgiveness is a lot like that too. If forgiving someone sets you free and you're no longer chained, you don't have that grudge or that burden, and you know it makes you feel good to have that off your shoulders, then why wouldn't you want to forgive others? The Bible says God will forgive us the same way we forgive others. So why don't we forgive more? I don't know. If you're hurting today, if you're angry today, I want you to know forgiveness is the key to curing those heart issues. Until you forgive, the healing process can't begin. Until you forgive, the restoration process can't begin. So if there's a lack of joy in your life today, ask yourself the question, do I need to forgive someone? Do I need to forgive myself? These are the things only God can give you answers to. Rather than continue talking about forgiveness for another 30 minutes, what I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you somebody. Somebody from our congregation today that struggled in the past with forgiveness. Someone who's battled head to head with forgiveness and chose to move forward. I want you to hear from her own words that forgiveness really is the path to healing and having a good relationship with the Lord Jesus. Would you welcome Sister Connie Bell to come and share with us today? Thank
you. Forgiveness means, to me, starts when you have a cup filled with heartache, sadness, darkness, joy, and happiness. Then you empty your cup and you fill it with the Holy Spirit in prayer. It also means asking God to forgive you for your sins. When I was born into a family of 6 brothers and 4 sisters. My heartache started when my father and mother, who were not getting along, I watched them fight numerous times. Sometimes the fights turned into mom crying and multiple things being flung at one another. Then sadness came, so did the divorce. And a little more, my cup was filled. Sadness continued when my siblings and my mom would say many not so nice things about my dad. A little more, my cup was filled. Darkness arose when I was in grade school and my brothers and cousins were adolescents. I was the youngest of the family and just wanted attention. Growing up, I had 4 older brothers in the house and 5 boy cousins that were around a lot. My sisters were older and not around. My mom had a boyfriend and worked full-time as well as went to college. Boys will be boys, right? At my expense. And they all would take turns doing not-so-nice things to me. My mother was never around to talk to and then married my stepfather, who talked about sex and walked around the house with no clothes or even in his underwear. More of my cup was filled. I was exposed to Christians when I was in junior high. I gave my life to Jesus, but then quickly lost it when my mom told me I had to pick between our family or the life of the family that was teaching me about Jesus. I lost my walk with Jesus. I would say prayers from time to time and always knew in my heart good things were to come. But then darkness came, and so did Satan with full force. In order to fit in, my brothers, according to Satan, I was exposed to alcohol, drugs, and sex. I felt so alone and beaten. At the age of 16, I was kicked out of my home by my stepfather for drinking and upsetting my mom. More of my cup was filled. While living with some friends, I was exposed to cocaine. That was my first encounter with Jesus. At the time, I didn't know who was at the end of the tunnel with the bright light. I was told by the figure at the end of the tunnel it was not my time and I needed to go back. I remember waking up and thinking I was dreaming. More of my cup was filled. The joy in my life didn't start until I met Ronnie. I got married at the age of 6, at 19, and our first child at the age of 20, and the second child at the age of 22. My cup was starting to fill up with joy instead of heartache, sadness, and darkness. The problem is I never emptied my cup, so the joy was being drowned by all the heartache, sadness, and darkness. I let this overtake my cup, and Ronnie and I started having marriage issues. There was some joy and happiness, but it was overtaken by sadness, heartache again, by the one person I trusted more than anything. Ronnie was not being so nice to me. I felt alone again. My cup was starting to overflow. I was becoming very angry and not respectful of myself or family. Depression and so many other emotions overcame me. I had 19 years of sin, darkness, sadness, heartache, happiness, and joy. And then 29 years of happiness, joy, sadness, and betrayal. A very full cup of sin. I spent many years trying to empty my cup of sin on my own. I became very broken, lost, and was taken and looking in all the wrong places to empty my cup. How do you forgive someone who betrays you, hurts you, stomps on you, abuses you? How do you ask God for forgiveness for everything that you've done? The party and the sex, the drugs, and the hatred towards family you're supposed to love. How can God ever forgive my sins? I believed in God, just didn't know how to give my sins, give my burdens, give the control, pray or walk with God. I thought I had everything in control until my path crossed with Shannon Allen and everybody in this church. These rocks represent burdens of sins I have been carrying around and all the reasons I had a full cup of sin. This rock is for the hatred and abuse. Lord, I forgive. This rock is for the hurt, the betrayal. Lord, I forgive. This rock is for the sex, the drugs, partying. Lord, forgive me. This rock is not giving you control, God. Lord, forgive me. I found peace in asking God to guide me. I found peace in no longer having to carry this weight around. I say prayers every day, asking God to open up doors and close doors. I ask God to show me the path and guide me down the path He wants me to go down. The day I ask God to forgive me, and I said I forgive all those who have done me wrong, was the day I began filling my cup with the Holy Spirit. I was blessed with peace, joy, and happiness. One of my favorite verses is Ephesians 4:31-32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God has forgave you. I came to the Lord weary, heavy-hearted, broken, with a cup full of sin, feeling there was no place to turn. But the Lord took that cup and my burdens from me and replaced it with the Holy Spirit, joy, and peace. Having Jesus at the center of my world and the center of my marriage has changed my life. No matter where you are in life, if you will forgive your life, if you will give your life to the Lord and really follow Him, He will change your life and help you forgive, just like He's helped me.
Deny the power of God and how it worked in Sister Connie's life. And that very same God that Sister Connie loves and serves, that has forgiven her and helped her to forgive others, can do the very same thing for you. Maybe you came in here today with a burden on your heart. Unforgiveness has just been weighing you down. Now you know the truth, so there's no way to get away from it. You know that God is only going to forgive you if you forgive others. I don't want you to leave with that same burden that you had today. God doesn't want you to leave with that same burden that you had today. So it's up to you. What do you want to do? Do you want to leave this church today as light as a feather, knowing that God has completely forgiven you and you have completely forgiven others? Or do you want to come in one more time, feeling those burdens on your heart, and walk right back out carrying them? It's up to you. There's no room for grudges in a Christian's life. Today is the day for forgiveness. Let's stand and bow our heads as we go to Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today, God, with heavy hearts, Lord. God, these rocks signify the heaviness, Lord, that we deal with. God, as we battle forgiving others, and we look at how you've forgiven us. Lord, I pray that today, God, people would no longer be able to hold these grudges against others. God, that we would no longer be unforgiving people, Lord. But you would teach us how to forgive the same way that you forgive us. Just like you give us grace and mercy, God, that you will give others grace and mercy. Now I know, Lord, forgiveness isn't an easy thing to do. And I know some of our church people here have been hurt way beyond what a 30-minute sermon could ever do for them, Lord. But God, you can heal anybody. Lord, help our congregation today. Maybe during the sermon today, the Lord is speaking to you. Maybe he was telling you that it's time to take a leap of faith and just try to forgive someone. It's so easy to hold things against one another. But if we're going to be followers of Christ, Lord, help us to be able to forgive the same way you've forgiven us. God, teach us to love others with the same unconditional love and mercy that you give to us, God. It's time, Lord, for you to help us let these grudges go. God, let our burdens in life float away. Help us, Lord, to forgive our friends, that coworker, that relative. Help us to forgive the same way that you forgive us. If you want to come and pray and ask God to forgive you, or you want to ask God to help you forgive someone else, today is the day to make that right. You may have come in this sanctuary heavy as a rock, but you can leave as light as a feather.